right from the start, the challenge was on. These already remote islands were devastated. There were no accommodations. The nearest airstrip was 20 miles from the Emerald Express, and the roads had been washed away. Initial flyovers of the Emerald Express clearly showed the remoteness of where the vessel had ended up. Swamp, rocks, and not much more than that. The only way to get to the Emerald Express was by small boat. We looked for ways to get there by road, but other than by foot or bicycle, we never got there overland. If we had a hard time getting there by bicycle or walking, how would we get heavy equipment to the location? One positive was that the old ferry road was not damaged near the ship, and there was an old fisherman's path almost connecting the road and the Emerald Express. In our initial salvage assessment, we first looked at the obvious way, back towards the water. But soundings showed us a large shallow of less than 2 feet draft to be between the ship and the ocean. The other way was to go straight over the top, straight to the beaches on the northern side. There were reefs, but there were holes to be found. The bigger issue was the rocky shoreline and the ridges on land. Through aerial reconnaissance, we created elevation maps and determined exactly the best route to take. The best route was to follow the old fisherman's path and to the beaches towards the west. The ship would be moved on airbags, and in order to do that, we had to create a path. We spent days crawling through the terrain to determine the best route. On one side there was the swamp with very low areas, and on the other side there were the rocky ridges with high areas. We decided on a path right on the edge of the swamp and keeping the rocks to our side, more than a mile to the ocean. We had always planned to leave the way we were going to arrive, find and create a good landing point from which we were also going to launch the Emerald Express. Landing and offloading of the heavy equipment and camp had to be done within a day. The supply vessel could not stay overnight within the dangerous, uncharted reefs. High tide was required for landing and departing. Even before the supply vessel was fully unloaded, the bulldozers started pushing towards the Emerald Express, and we started creating the path. From the beach to the ferry road was relatively easy. But past the ferry road, we found the solid rock we thought we had was actually fragile sheet rocks laying on top of the swamp. The bulldozers sank right through them, and so we had to adjust our path further north, towards the rocky ridges. We ended up with a more than 90 degrees turn in the path. Eventually, that turned out to be a hard place to negotiate. Moving a ship over land is simple. Just like the Vikings, put rollers under it and start pulling. It is just a very long, hard, and tedious process. And, as they say, the devil is in the details. Unlike the Vikings, we would use pneumatic roller bags. Anywhere we had a gap, a bag would be placed and supported underneath by large quantities of lumber. Once a bag is fully seated and supported, it is inflated, creating pressure on the vessel to go up. And every time the ship goes a little higher, place another bag and repeat the process. One side, then the next, and so on. Once the ship was fully lifted and sitting on the bags, we started pulling and pushing. The first 400 feet out of the swamp was hard, muddy and tiring. But once out of the swamp, it became a little easier and we were moving at several hundred feet a day. When we started approaching the big turn, we also started to get back into the swamp. No way around it. Typically this rollerback technique allows for a 90 degree turn in about 3 ship lengths. We had to make a 120 degree turn around this axis in less than a ship length. Once the turn was completed and we were back on dry land, the process started to become somewhat routine. Roll the ship, move the bags from the back to the front, and so on. Sometimes a little bit more difficult, sometimes a little easier, with an average of 600 to 700 feet a day. Mosquitoes and bugs were overwhelmingly present. We had to keep the generators going to be able to stay on the ship. Every night we dug a hole for water to cool the generators. The path we had created was 60 feet wide by more than 6,000 feet long. The surface had to be smooth so it wouldn't puncture the bags, but more importantly, it had to be level. Several hundred feet before the ferry road, we started running into trouble again. The path had to come real close to the swamp, and we had no way around it. We had to go through it. But worse, there was a ridge between the ferry road and the beach, and there was rock, hard rock. Unless we excavated this rock, the ship would bottom out and we could get stuck. No way to move forward or back. So we had to fill out the swamp, fill out the dip over the road, and level the path to the top of the ridge. This took several days and nights to accomplish. This was not easy, and the rocks were hard. We could not go back, so we had to continue. In the end, we filled out a dip in the swamp, we leveled off the rocks, and we laid a layer of dirt over the road to protect it. When we finally made it to the top of the ridge, the extra effort and extra work paid off, and we easily went over it. Now it was actually beneficial to us, the ferry road had no car traffic. Only a few times we had a supply vessel bring us more supplies or heavy equipment. The path had been long, but finally we made it to the ocean, and we were ready to launch. Again, we had the timer just right with the tide. After the ridge, the bulldozers were moved behind the ship to act as brakes. The light decline towards the beach would actually make the vessel roll by itself. Due to the reefs and the uncharted waters, we could not afford the Emerald Express to stay overnight between the reefs. We had to be out before nightfall, so the launch had to be done at first light to be able to make it offshore before dark. We had brought out the stern anchor of the Emerald Express to about 1200 feet from the beach. With a long rope, we controlled the bow and kept the vessel from blowing onto the reefs. Furthermore, as soon as the bow was in the water, we could start the bow thruster and control the ship that way. The wind was blowing broadside on. A bigger issue was the moment the vessel would stop rolling forward by itself. She would sit on the bags on the seabed, and we could not start her main engines yet. Even when the bags were removed, she still sat on the sand, and we still could not use the main engines. It was too shallow, not much, but just a little. We had to give her a little push. Finally, she was back in her element, and the only thing that was left to do was clean up, get the equipment together, and get off the island.